Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
Sweet, it's going to be. We're going to be there one day, those of us that believe in Jesus. Are you thankful for that?
Amen.
Are you thankful to know that when we leave this place, if you're a Christian, you're going to be with Jesus forever and ever? So the hardships we're going to have as Christians, well, according to the Word of God, they're going to be down here, aren't they? The struggles that we're going to have, they're going to be down here. So what do we need to be conscious of? I believe we need to be conscious of, obviously, our daily walk with God. You've heard me preach this so many times over the years. Be consistently faithful, consistently faithful. And that's something I keep reminding myself of, that I need to strive to do. I need to be faithful today. I need to be faithful tomorrow. So tomorrow I'm going to have to remind myself to do it again. Otherwise, I'll slip up. And it's that daily, it's that relationship that we have with God. So we're still continuing our study on Joash, the boy king. I'm actually going to read out of 2 Chronicles chapter 24 today. It's some of the same scriptures that we read last week out of Kings, and a lot of the same events were taking place, but I've got a little different perspective that I want to bring to light today. So, and it's basically dealing with that day-to-day walk and that relationship with God and expectations God has for us and what we need to be striving to do. So if you'll stand with me, we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter number 24. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. And Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites, and he said unto them, Go out unto the cities of Judah, and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not, and the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and he said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses the servant of the Lord and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, the wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment they made a chest, and they set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord, and they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses the servant of God laid up upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. Father, as we continue to look in to this story of Joash and the boy king, and we see God, the obstacles that he faced. We see the challenges of being just a seven-year-old kid and the things that he had to learn quickly. The decisions that he made, God, there was a lot of weight behind those. There was a lot of stress and pressure that came with some of the things that he did. And having a mind for you and a heart for you, God, that was what was beautiful. We understand that. We pray today that we would have a heart for you, Jesus. Our mind would be focused on what is going to glorify you, that our hearts would be sold out to you, that we would sacrifice our lives to you for your glory. We pray, God, that as we examine these scriptures and expound on some of the things that Joash considered, that God, you'll speak to our hearts. I ask your forgiveness of my sins. I fail you often. I fail you often, miserably. And God, I ask your forgiveness and your cleansing so that I can be who you would have me be. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have freedom in the house today and all those that joining us by other means. Pray, God, that your Spirit would speak to our hearts today and give us what we need. We love you, Jesus, and we're thankful for all the wonderful things you've done for us and how you've blessed us abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Being out in the yard all day, he's got that. It's not Corona. Don't think. But I'll stay up here. You stay down there. But when we look at Joash, like Scotty said, we've been putting the sermon notes in. I've been enjoying doing some of that. That way you kind of follow along with where we're going to go. I tell you the best thing about having the sermon notes in the app. Here's the coolest thing. You know when I'm about done. Amen. Huh? Man, he's on point three. He just got four. Woo! We'll be out of here in a little bit. The only thing is you don't know how long we're going to linger. I'm one to linger, you know. I'll linger around a point for 20 minutes and then run through the last three. I don't know. We do the best we can, but we really try to honor the Spirit of God and let him have his way. And so that's what's good about it, isn't it? It's good. First thing I want to look at in thinking about Joash, 7-year-old kid, stepped into this leadership role. He'd been trained, he'd been taught and educated by Jehoiada the high priest, so he's had the word of God drilled in him there for at least those 6 years. He's mindful of what it is that God wants done. So he's been under the right teaching. You know what that shows us? It shows us the impact of getting a hold of kids while they're young and getting the word of God in them. Doesn't it? He was 7 years old. They got him at 1 year old because he was there with them for 6 years in the house of God and hid. And he was obviously being taken care of, but he was being taught the word of God regularly. So when he stepped out and started making decisions as the king, he started making godly decisions. 7-year-old kid making godly decisions. How is that possible? Because he's had the word of God brought into his life. Man, it's important for us to get our... I know folks will worry and stress and fret over, well, my kids are going to be disruptive in church. And, well, yeah, maybe they are. But everybody's kids are disruptive in church at one point. You know, I want them in church. I want them here. I want them with us. I want them under the Word of God. When you're home, get those little books and read them about the ark and about Jesus, and let them experience at their age level. Let them experience who God is. Let them start learning from young, because I'm going to tell you, we understand they're getting a lot more information than we think they're getting. Amen. That's right. As little ones, they're like sponges. So here we have Joash stepped into this position. So what's one of the first decisions he makes that we read about? Is that he said he desired to repair the house of God. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 24 and verse number 4. It came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. First point being capturing God's vision. Capturing God's vision. I got a couple things I want to mention right here in regard to that. The word minded, when he's talking about he was minded to repair the house of God. The word minded means to be equal with. It's not that he all of a sudden just said, well, I just think it's a great idea to repair the house of God. No, it's that he had been inspired. He had to have been inspired by the Spirit of God to say, this is a good time to repair the house of God. Because for him to be minded to repair the house of God means he was equal with what the Spirit had apparently already told him, even though we didn't know that. So what happened is he joined himself in on what God had already had a vision to want to accomplish. I know we say it all the time and you say it, we believe it. Does God have a vision for your individual life? Yes, he does. We know that and we agree with that, don't we? We believe that. Well, here's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be minded to his vision. He wants us to be equal to or joined with his vision. You know, there's two basic kinds of wills that God has. God has a divine will. What's God's divine will? God's divine will is that his vision would come to fruition. That's God's divine will. God's divine will is that when he speaks to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we'll listen to him and we'll respond to him and obey what the Spirit's telling us to do. That's the divine will of God. And the other will of God is a permissive will that God has. That means God's telling us what he desires us to do in our life, but he allows us the freedom of choice to choose. And if we choose not to obey God, he is allowing or permitting us to do those things that we shouldn't do. You see, God made us free moral agents for a reason. He wants us to choose to worship him, to choose to serve him, to choose to honor him, to choose to respect him. God doesn't want us to be robots, or he doesn't want us to be without choice. He gave us the ability to reason and to consider and to think about things and what we're going to do, to choose the path we want to go down. So God has a vision. God has a divine will for our lives. It's up to us now to choose. Am I going to get on board, and am I going to be minded to want to do those kind of things that God's telling me I need to do? Have you joined to God's vision for your life? Is it just a one-shot deal? I don't think it's just a one-shot deal. I think it's an ongoing thing, don't you? I think it's an everyday thing. I think God's vision, he has an overall vision for our life that I don't think he can tell us all of it right now, do you? If he told us all right now, he would scare us to death, wouldn't he? He would terrify you if he told you where he wants you in 5 years, more than likely, because we couldn't handle it, because we would see it so overwhelming, we wouldn't be able to be a part of what that is God's telling us he wants to do. So there is that vision, that overall vision that God has for us. And then there's that daily vision, I believe, and small, intricate parts of that vision that God has for us that he wants us to plug into and wants us to be a part of. That's what God has in store for us, is that vision. Joseph, now think about Joseph. I want to look at a couple of people here and some of the things God did when he talked about a vision. When God gave Joseph the vision as a kid, about 17-year-old kid, he had that coat of many colors, and his brothers rejected him, his brothers hated him, and he even shared with him the vision that you're gonna basically bow down to me one day. He told his mom and dad, you're gonna bow down to me one day. How would you feel about going to your brothers and sisters and going to your parents and saying, I saw a vision from God, and it's telling me that one day you all are gonna bow down to me? How would that go over? At your house. Not too good, probably, right? Not too good. So Joseph had to make a choice. Am I going to be minded? Am I going to be equal to the vision God has for me? Or am I going to run from the vision God has for me because I'm fearful of what may happen if I embrace it? Listen, he never promised us the vision was going to be easy. He never promised us we were going to really like the vision, especially on the front end. He never promised it was going to be easy, or we were going to just, it's not going to be cupcakes and rainbows, is it? But it's the vision that God has for us. And so what we've got to do, like Joseph, we've got to be equal to and be minded to the vision God has for us. Is it wrong for us to set goals? No, I don't think it's wrong to set goals. We need to be a people that have some order and structure to our lives. I think it's important to set goals in life. But at the same time, I think that with whatever we may plan or propose in our lives, that the Holy Spirit must have the ability to trump anything that we consider in our lives. That vision of God is what must be honored. Because listen, the vision of God is where the blessings are at. Scotty talked Wednesday night. I was listening, brother. Talking about faith, talking about how we ended up here in this building. That's a good message. You need to go back and listen to that. And he was talking about faith and talking about how people have to demonstrate faith. And I think that may have even been part of what inspired what I want to talk about the vision of God, because we got to be faithful. We don't just need to be faithful to something, like Scotty said the other night. We got to be faithful to the right thing. I can have goals in my life and a vision for my life and be faithful to those things, and it absolutely get me nowhere. Or I can listen and I can see with God's eyes the vision he has for us, and I'll be where God wants me to be. Would you rather be where God wants you, or would you rather be where you want you? Well, we know the answer to that. We know it's obvious. I want to be where God wants me to be. If I'm going to be there, then it's going to be that daily grind of me embracing the vision of God. We're here. We are right here. Not because I'm an amazing pastor. We're here. Not because we just have outstanding people in our church. But we're here where we're at today. Because a handful of people years ago got a hold of the vision that God had for Richardson's Cove Baptist Church and said, you know what? It sounds crazy, but God can do it. Amen. And we think about, did we all of a sudden just say, all right, God's given us a vision. We're gonna have a new facility somewhere. And the next day, boom, it just happened. No, it was a process. That daily trust of what I need to be faithful in today. What I need to trust you in today. What part of the vision are you revealing to us today? And day by day, God makes it possible for us to be where we need to be. If God wants you to be a part of something that would right now terrify you, ministry-wise, maybe he wants you eventually to go. We know we can't go overseas right now, but whenever we can, maybe he wants you to go to some remote area and share the gospel of Jesus. He might not tell you that exactly right now, but God's going to give you those baby steps to start preparing your heart and your mind and your body so that you can be ready when that time comes to reveal that part of the vision to you. God's so careful even how he reveals that vision to us. I love how God works with us. He gives us what we need when we need it so that we can be faithful and we can honor him and we can respect him. And he gives us enough to where we can be faithful to him. The next point is this. I want to read 2 Chronicles 24:9. This is talking about the calling that God has given us in our life and our part of that vision, our part of being active in that vision. 24:9 says, and they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. Now I want to go back and I'm going to be in Exodus, if you want to turn with me. Exodus chapter number 30. Some interesting scripture here. We didn't touch on this last week. I want to save that for this week and kind of dive into this whole thing about, he said, Moses, servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. There was something that was already set in action years ago before they found themselves where they're at under the rule of Joash. There had already been something set in place to care for and provide funds to care for the house of God. God's not foolish. He didn't just all of a sudden with a boy king decide, oh, goodness, we need to figure out a way to repair the house of God. No, God plans for the future. God already had something set in motion, and if we honor what God says, the house of God would have been in fine shape in the days of Joash. But nonetheless, they found themselves where they were. In Exodus chapter number 30, beginning in verse number 11, here's what it says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, basically when you take a census, there shall be given every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. It's not that we're paying, buying our soul. That's, you understand the terminology here. It's an identification of being one of the children of Israel is basically what that is. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them, this they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, a shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among you that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. Now here's the key right here, verse number 15. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for their souls. Verse 16, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it to the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And I've got a note down here that I had to write it down so I make sure I say it the way I wanted to say it. When he established this, you know, there's going to be different types of people. There are going to be wealthy people. There are going to be folks that have absolutely nothing. And he said, so when we're counted and when we give this ransom or we give this token to, as part of, we're part of the children of Israel, and you give that money, this small portion of this half shekel is going to be given and it's going to go into a fund to help keep up and repair and maintain the house of God. That's what it was designed for. Everybody 20 years old and older was to give the same amount. He said, I don't want the rich given any more because just because they're rich. I don't want the poor given any less, even though they think they should be exempt from giving as much. So here's the statement. It's not more than you can give, but it's enough to know that you're giving. Does that make sense to you? He's telling these people, and I need to consider this in serving the Lord. It's not more that when God calls me to serve him in whatever capacity it is, it's not greater than I'm able to do, but it's enough to where I know that I'm doing something, that I'm having to choose to do something that's outside of my comfort zone. God has made serving him this way for a purpose. So we know that we're making a conscious choice to serve God. How cool is it that God knows whatever it is that he asks you to do, it's not going to be greater than you're able to do? Has he ever asked you to do anything that's impossible? Well, possible if we allow him to work through us. So the call is going to be just. Whatever he does, that calling's going to be just. I thought about some people. One in particular, I thought about Abraham when God called Abraham to offer his son Isaac. What's just about that? There's nothing just about that, is there? Is that right? God, you're asking somebody to kill his only son. So we think, wow. Because God asked Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to the Lord, does that mean God could ask that same thing of me? I hope not. I hope God wouldn't ask me to do that. But what I do understand, and as I read God's word, I understand that whatever calling he puts on each individual life, you have the faith. You have the ability within you by the power of the Holy Spirit to see it through whatever it is. I don't think I'm Abraham. I don't think I'm like Abraham. So I'm going to hope and pray that God never asked me to do something as extreme as that. But here's what God did know about Abraham. He knew his heart. He knew his heart. He knew exactly where Abraham was at. He knew that he was sold out to him. And he knew, if I ask Abraham, because I know exactly where he is with me, if I ask him to offer his son as a sacrifice for me, I believe that he will offer his son. He'll go to the point he'll almost kill his son so that I'll have to stop him. Stay the knife. Don't kill the lad. I'm going to provide the sacrifice. So the calling in each individual life is going to be just. God will not call you to do anything greater than is able to be accomplished in your life. And he will not call you to do anything so ridiculous and without meaning that you don't even feel like you're serving God. Now, when you serve God, I believe he wants it to be a conscious choice to serve him. So that calling is going to be just. He knew the heart of Abraham. I believe kind of here's where Abraham was. He knew that God had already shared the promise was going to come through his son Isaac. And Isaac was going to have children and children and children. God had revealed to Abraham that much of truth. And so he knew that. And he thought, Well, if he's telling me to offer my son Isaac and I take him and God allows me to go through with the sacrifice and I kill my son, Abraham knew in his heart of hearts God would have to be a keeper of his word. He would have to resurrect the body of Isaac and bring him back to life because he'd already said the promise is coming from Abraham through Isaac. That's where Abraham's faith was. That's where our faith needs to be. Don't think that when God calls you to do something, well, God, that's just not fair. You're calling me to do something I'm not able to do. It's bigger than me. It's tougher than me. It's harder than me. I'm going to have to commit more time, more energy. If God calls you to do anything, if it is God, no, it is possible. And that is calling in your life and mine is just. That's why God, after he saved me, he had to give me some of a desire for his word. Then he had to give me a desire to want to be in church and in fellowship with other believers. Then he had to give me a desire to want to be active and involved in church activities. Then he had to give me a desire to want to be a part of a Sunday school class and expound on the word and study the word. Then he had to give me the desire to want to be a Sunday school teacher. Then after that, I was approached to be an usher. Big time, man. I was up front. From there, then God started dealing my heart slowly about preaching, and it was a drawn-out process. We argued a lot for a year or so before I surrendered to preach. See, God couldn't just come all of a sudden and say, I'm going to have you pastor in Richardson's Cove Church next week. Get ready. Never would have happened, would it? No, it wouldn't have happened. But with me choosing this point, well, I'm going to be faithful in this one, God, I hope it all works. As we daily walk with God, each calling is going to be just in what God's calling us to do. He's not going to, I was about to say, he's not going to throw you to lions, but then again, he may. He did Daniel, didn't he? But listen, know this. If he does, you're not facing the lions by yourself. Amen. God's with you. God was in there. You know what? Jesus was in there. The Spirit of God was in there with those lines before I think Daniel ever entered in. That's what's beautiful about God. The calling is just because God is always in the calling. You lack the ability. I lack the ability to do anything, but God has all ability. There's no limitations with God. The next thought I want to share is the personal expectations. 2 Chronicles 24:10 says, and all the princes of all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. So, you notice he said all the princes, all the people. So, that means it's not just for a select few that God's putting this call on their lives. It's not just a handful of people. It's not just those that are called to preach, to be evangelists, to be Sunday school teachers, to be deacons, to be song leaders. It's not just those that are seemingly be prominent in the church setting, but it's everybody. Everybody that is a Christian has a distinct call to be a part of this great work that God is trying to accomplish. And it's demanded of us to surrender that, because you're sitting here in the pew, or perhaps some of you might be tuning in online while they're drinking their latte, I had to say that. Whatever it is, you've got a part to play in what God wants to do here at Richardson's Cove Baptist Church, here in our community, here in what God's trying to accomplish. And I want to read a verse of Scripture talking about this personal expectation. What does God expect? Does he only expect certain ones to give? Does he only expect certain ones to contribute, to give their time, to give their energy, to give of their life? God expects everybody to give that's a Christian, that's bought by the blood of Jesus. Exodus chapter 38 and verse number 8 says this, and he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. All the ladies that had their looking glass mirror, their mirrors, they sacrificed them and gave them up to not be able to see themselves because there was a need that the laver be built. So when they were given this thought, this idea, and this vision that the laver needs to be built and here's going to be the best thing to make it out of, each individual woman that had that looking glass had to be willing to give up of herself, to give up viewing herself, to give up. Perhaps some of them were more vain even than others and looked a lot. They had to be willing to choose to give that up. This calling hits everybody somewhere. Amen. To serve God, it's going to hit you somewhere. You're going to be demanded to sacrifice of yourself in order for God's will to be done in your life. Again, it's not going to be beyond what can be accomplished, but it is going to be enough to know that you are giving of yourself in order for God to be glorified. I've got another passage of Scripture I want to read in Exodus chapter 35 talking about preparing to get this tabernacle and everything put together. Moses shared in depth all the things we're going to need to make this tabernacle what God wants it to be. Then in verse number 20 of chapter number 35, he says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses." After he shared his story, his vision, here's what God wants. Here's the vision. So in verse 20, it said everybody went home. Verse 21, "And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one who his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for all the holy garments." It was a personal calling to everybody. God's not going to make you serve him, but God's going to give you plenty of opportunities to serve him. He's going to say, here's the need, here's the goal, it's the vision. Now you pray about it, you think about it. Are you willing to jump on board? Are you willing to be minded with a vision of God? Even if it opposes the vision you have for your life, are you willing to give in and sacrifice and surrender yourself to the vision that God has for your life? The vision God has here for our church that had brought us to this point that we're at, but I don't believe God's done. I believe there is more of a vision that God has even from here in the future. Are we willing to be joined and like-minded and equal to the vision that God has for us? Is it going to require something of me? Yeah, you better know it's going to require something of you. All of us, we all have to be minded and equal to that vision of God. But it's a personal call. Don't think you're getting out of it because you're young or because you're older. Don't think you're getting out of it because you don't have an actual title or a position in the church. Don't think you're getting out of it for any of those sorry excuses. Know that if you're a child of God, you're saved by his blood, you are called to be a part of that vision of God. And lastly, understand that it all adds up. What little bit you might bring to the table, added with whatever somebody else might bring to the table. All those half shekels that those people were bringing in year after year after year in that numbering, in that census to be counted as children of God, all those half shekels eventually are going to add up, and there's going to be a lot of shekels in there. And we're going to be able to do a lot to maintain and repair the house of God. 2 Chronicles 24 and 11 says this, "Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came, and he emptied the chest. And he took it, and he carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance." What little you bring, what little bit I bring, when we bring it all together, and when God blesses it, that's the key. When Gideon was called by the Lord to be the next deliverer, the next judge, God told him, "You've got way too many people, not all faithful, not all willing to serve me. We're going to have to whittle that number down until we get a handful of people that believe in me and believe in the vision that I've given you." Got it down to 300. And those 300 were able to do amazing things when God the Father blessed it. When Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and he started preaching, he and those others preached in their own tongue, but everyone there heard in their own native language. And the Bible says that 3,000 people were saved.
Why? Because the Spirit of God convicted those people, and they became children of God. The Spirit blessed it. When Jesus was there with his disciples, and they brought up, all these people are hungry. So what do we got? He said, got a lad with some fish and bread. And when Jesus got what was offered and he blessed it, give it to everybody. They all had plenty to eat. You see, there's just three examples. One of the Father, one of the Son, one of the Holy Spirit, of how he is always at work in what he's calling us to do. And what little we may feel like we're bringing to the table, know that God will put it together with all the other things he's doing, and amazing things can happen when a handful of people get sold out to Jesus Christ. I don't remember exactly how many we had. We didn't have many, maybe 50, 60, I don't know. I don't know the exact number. But we had 50 or 60 over there that believed that God was able to do great things. And they trusted in him. And God blessed. And now you see where we're at because of getting a hold of the vision of God. I'm not preaching prosperity by any means. What I'm preaching is that if we're obedient children to God, God will bless. Not that he's going to fill your pockets with money, but God will bless your spirit. He'll bless your soul. He'll bless your heart. He'll bless ministry. He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. He'll give you joy unspeakable. Those are the things I'd way rather have than to have all the money in the world. You really mean that, preacher? Yeah, I think I do. The older I get, the more that is real to me. I want to be able to lay down sleep at night. I want to have joy, true joy inside of my heart. And I'm only going to get that by being obedient to God. I'm only going to get there by grabbing and capturing and being minded and equal with the vision that God has for my life. First vision he has for all of us, though, is to be saved. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Without doubt, do you know if you were to die today, heaven would be your home? If you're reluctant, you're unsure. I don't know if I were to die that I would go to heaven, preacher. I've worried about that a lot. Don't worry about it. Quit worrying about it. Get it fixed. Get it settled today. Call on Jesus and he'll save you and he'll cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. I can't save you, but he can and he will if you call on him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Capture that first vision of God, which is for you to embrace salvation. I don't know your heart. If you're here and you're unsaved, I pray that today is when you surrender to Jesus. If you are a Christian, my prayer is that you would capture that vision that God has for you, whatever it is. Will you stand with us this morning while we get ready for invitation song? Come on down to the altar before they even start playing. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, you come. We're going to pray real quick. Father, have your way in our hearts. As we begin this invitation time, this is important time, God. This is a time of decision. We have folks in our pews, God, that are wrestling with decisions today. God, we don't want to honor just our vision. We want to honor your vision. We want to embrace it. We want to be minded, God, and equal with what you want to do in our lives. I pray for those among us that perhaps may be unsaved, that today you convict them, that today they embrace salvation. I pray for those saved, God, that you would give them what they need, God, to capture that vision. Take away our pride and our arrogance. Bring us to our knees, God, whatever it takes, to humble us before you, to seek your face, God. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about you. God, we pray for you to be glorified. We pray for you to be blessed. Have your way and move among us, Jesus. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcbc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.